Well, good morning again. Welcome today. And Hebrews 13:5 says this, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. God's word reminds us to not love money, which can be difficult to do, right? But instead to be satisfied with what we have, which can also be difficult to do. And God promises to never fail or abandon us. He knows our needs. So if you haven't taken that step of faith and trust in God in your giving of your tithes, which is 10% of your income, is the beginning point, really. God always keeps his promises. So thank you for being obedient with those tithes and offerings today. I just want to make mention real quick, water baptism on May 19th. It's been described as an outward expression, being under the water, coming up as a new creation, an outward expression of an inward change that's happened in your life. Maybe you were baptized as a kid. Maybe you didn't quite fully understand, or maybe you want to rededicate your life and you want to get rebaptized. We want to encourage you. We would love to, for you to be part of that. So there's some of these cards on the lobby, in the lobby table there, and fill it out. You can put it in the drop box or hand it to me. But we would love to have some baptisms that Sunday and celebrate new life, new creation. Amen? Encourage you with that. We love water baptism services around here, so I encourage you to be a part if that's you. Pray about that. Next Sunday, Pastor Roy Rhodes, our assistant superintendent, is going to be speaking. So I want you to come back out, and afterwards we're going to vote on our constitution on bylaws and some other offices and as members and officially be a general council church, kind of independent but underneath the umbrella of the Assemblies of God. So we're excited about that. So next Sunday we have a guest speaker, so come and be a part. And then some of you may have seen on Facebook that our family is growing. First of all, we're not pregnant, so my daughter got engaged on Friday night, so we're excited about that. I got to tell you, we've been praying for him. We didn't know his name, but we were praying for him for a long time, and God honored his word. So we're excited about having Ryan Marks part of the family. He's been here, and we're kind of excited. We had a party last night to celebrate that with family, and so I'm going to be a father-in-law. And I'll also be father of the bride. Yeah. So we're excited. So a woman was having a medical problem, her husband snoring. So she called the doctor one morning and asked him if there was anything he could do to relieve her suffering. Well, there is one operation I can perform that will cure your husband, but it's rather expensive. It will cost $18,000 down and payments of $3,000 for 24 months plus payments for extras. Wow, the woman exclaimed. Sounds like leasing a new sports car. The doctor murmured. Too obvious, huh? Well, if you haven't been here in a while, or maybe you missed a week or two, we're in a new message series titled Extreme Makeover. God loves to do extreme makeovers in our lives. It's not that he's unsatisfied with who you are or me, but he loves us enough to not leave us there. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone belongs to Christ, there is a new creation. The old things have gone, and everything is made new. If anyone belongs to Christ, then we see the world differently. If anyone belongs to Christ, right? No matter how sinful, if they repent and believe in Jesus, they belong to Jesus. If anyone belongs to Christ, means we've been transplanted from new soil and a new climate that are both soil and climate is Christ. If we belong to Christ, it's not a matter of a badge we wear, a pride that we're better than other people. No, it's having an attitude of humility. No matter who you are, what your last name is, how good you are, what you accomplish, or how much you own in this life, you see, you cannot earn salvation. God's word says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will honor you. It's allowing God, the great renovator of hearts, the great rebuilder of lives, the great architect of souls, to have access to do an extreme makeover in our lives, our hearts, if we're humble. When we lived in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, you guys ever heard of that? Okay. We bought an above-ground swimming pool. It was a kind that you just pulled out of the box and you kind of spread it out and you put water in it, and you know, it was like 4 feet high. It was like the bladder of the swimming pool. And so I kind of made the spot in the yard level. And that's a funny story with that. Actually, I did make it level and the water spilled out, so I had to remake it level. And put the short ladder together, put the pool together, and then begin to fill, you know, throw the hose into the pool. And it took a couple of hours, as you can imagine, and put the chemicals in. You know what I'm talking about. And then I plugged in the pump and put the hoses there and turned on the pump, only it was broken. It didn't work. How disappointing was that? After all that work, right? Ugh. We were ready to jump into a cool pool of water and have some fun. See, I believe we're all aware of disappointments in life. And some disappointments come from broken promises, right? There are promises that others have kept to us, right? They kept a secret. They followed through. They showed up when they promised. And there are promises that we've kept toward others, right? For example, you know, promises and vows that we exchange on the wedding day. And there are promises that others have broken to us. When a parent, a sibling, a child, a family member, a spouse, a best friend, a teacher, a coach, a teammate, the boss or a coworker, a leader, a pastor even, right? They made a promise and they broke it. They didn't do what they promised they were going to do. A dad who promised to be there didn't show up at our game or play or band concert at school. Our best friend who promised not to say anything to anyone did. Our boss promised us a promotion, but the time came and went. And there are promises that we've broken to others. We came up short. We didn't come through. We promised in the moment, or we had good intentions, or it slipped our mind. When as a child we begged our parents, please, please, can we get a dog? Please, I don't know if you're ready for a dog. Yes, I'm ready for a dog. Please, please, you know, and I'll water it, and I'll feed it, and I'll clean up after it, and the parents relented, and they got you a dog. But 2 weeks later, right, the dog isn't fed or walked. The backyard is a landmine of dog doo-doo, you know. I promise to take care of. I promise not to say anything. I promise I'll have it done by the end of the week. I promise I'll never do that again. What do we do when someone breaks a promise? Well, I think we tend to lose a little bit of trust in them, right? We become guarded, and we're disappointed, and we're cautious, and at times maybe even jaded. We don't like how that feels. What do we do when we break a promise? We can see the disappointment in their eyes. Their demeanor changes, right? The guilt floods into our hearts, and we try to desperately to make it up to them. At times, when it comes to promises, right, we can be inconsistent. And then there are times, but there is someone who always, always keeps his promises. The title of my message this morning in this series, Extreme Makeovers, God's Promises Are for me. God's promises are for me. Last week, I mentioned some HGTV shows that I kind of follow and watch, and Fixer Upper, Fixer to Fabulous, Hometown, that they deal with renovating, they deal with rebuilding or tearing down and making something new and making it improved. And they do it in an hour-long episode so I can enjoy my coffee and enjoy it, but it takes them months, you know. You see, and that's what God does in our lives, but it's an ongoing process that can last our whole lives. Has anyone arrived? Has anyone, you have arrived and you do everything perfect and I'm waiting. Anyone? No, right? God is still working on us. He loves to do extreme makeovers in our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:17, our verse, right? If anyone belongs to Christ, there is a new creation. The old things have gone. Everything is made new. So this morning, I want to focus on the second part of that verse. There is a new creation. Another translation would say that person is a new creation or a new creature or a new being, a new person made new. Now, the word new in the Greek means recently made. It's fresh. It's recent. It's unused. It's unworn. The word creation in the Greek means the act of founding, establishing, building, anything created. So if we belong to Christ, God has brought about a spiritual transformation inside of us, and our identity is tied to our new birth. This new creation applies to anyone who receives Jesus Christ. Do you remember when you gave your heart to Jesus for the first time? That moment when you decided to follow Him and not yourself. We are no longer who we once were. We have a new identity. Let me say that again. We are no longer who we once were. We have a new identity. If we belong to Christ, we have a thorough change of heart. We are given a new heart, a new nature, if you could think of it that way. A new creation is planted in our soul, which wasn't there before. It's not an outward transformation of life, but an inward transformation of the grace of God. We become changed from the inside out. Oftentimes, what we try to do is we change the outside to reflect the inside, right? We want to change the outside, what people see, but God said, no, I want to change the inside. Your outside will change. It starts from the inside. It's not working harder to be a better person in life, trying to improve the old way of doing things. No, right? It's a radical new beginning of grace and holiness. A new heart, a new spirit, a new light, a new life, new affections, new desires, new joys, new eyes to see with, new ears to hear with, new feet to walk with. New hands to work with. It's a brand new you. I like what one version says of this verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. And as Christ followers, we can celebrate. We can really celebrate the promises of belonging to Jesus. I talked about the word belonging last week and how when you belong to something, it's meaningful. We break our promises, and promises have been broken to us, but God never breaks His promises. If God were to even break one of His promises, right, He wouldn't be God. He wouldn't be trustworthy. He's been faithful through generations, so why would He fail now? He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He never has, and He never will. God has never been an inconsistent promise breaker. He always guarantees His word. You can count on it. Someone has counted, there are 8,810 promises in the Bible. That's a lot of promises of God to keep track of for you and for me, right? Obviously, we can't go through each of these promises this morning unless you want me to. You're going to smell a few minutes the spaghetti, right? That's cooking, and right? As soon as those doors open, right? But we're going to go through every promise. You just hang in there, okay? God's promises are for me. You say that for yourself. God's promise is for me. You have to internalize it. You have to believe it. These promises, these gifts, are specifically for you and me. They're timeless. So what are some of those promises of becoming a new creation and belonging to Christ? Well, naturally, the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:13, Christ also brought you the truth, which is the good news about how you can be saved. You put your faith in Christ and were given the promised Holy Spirit to show you that you belong to God. Since you are a new creation, we have the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is God's seal that we belong to Him. God's deposit, guaranteeing that He will do what He has promised in your life. The Holy Spirit in us demonstrates the genuineness of our faith. It proves that we are one of God's kids. Another promise of belonging to Christ is guidance. John 8:12, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Since we are a new creation, we don't have to stumble in life, find our way, what's true, what's not true. We have the light. What an amazing promise from the mouth of Jesus himself. If you belong and if you follow Jesus, you will never live in spiritual darkness. The expression, shot in the dark, is a wild, it's an unsubstantiated guess, right? It's an attempt that you have little chance for success, to guess something that you have no information or knowledge, just a shot in the dark, I'm hoping. If you belong to Jesus, you are a new creation, and God promises us guidance. Jesus, to be our light, so we don't have to live our lives like a shot in the dark. Jesus offers his presence, his protection, his guidance. I bet you every hand would go up if I said, I need God's guidance. I think we all do. Another promise of belonging to Christ is growth. John 15, remain in me and I will remain in you. A branch cannot produce fruit alone, but must remain in the vine. In the same way, you cannot produce fruit alone, but must remain in me. Since we are a new creation, we can actually grow in our faith. Jesus himself spoke these words to us, that if you and I remain in him, he will remain in us. It's a promise. Remain, the word remain means to abide, to continue to be present, to be held, to stay, to wait for, to keep on. Jesus won't ever leave or abandon you. He'll remain with you. He doesn't check out. He doesn't skip. He's there. He remains. Because just like a branch can't grow outside the trunk of the tree, you can't grow on your own apart from Christ. You must be connected to God to have growth and to produce fruit. But if you're not connected to Jesus the vine, you won't grow, right? Because dead things don't grow. The promise is that we'll grow in God as we remain in him. Some of us, at times, we want to jet. We want to move away from the Lord. Stay the course. Remain. Another promise of belonging to Christ is a relationship with God. Romans 5, so now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Since we are a new creation, we can have a relationship with God. How? Well, Jesus bridged the gap between God and us by dying on that cross. So we can celebrate in this relationship with God. That seems kind of strange that we can be friends of God. But that's what he calls us. It's a true promise for you today. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He's my Lord and Savior, but he's my friend. Another promise of belonging to Christ is the power to live. 2 Peter, Jesus has the power of God by which he has given us everything we need to live and to serve God. We have these things because we know him. Jesus called us by his glory and goodness. Since we are a new creation, we have the power to actually live. We have the power to live for God in this life right now. And we need the power to live in today's world. Not when we get to heaven someday, but today as we live our lives. Jesus has given us everything we need to live and to serve God. Did you know that? You have everything you need right now to live for the Lord. Does that mean you stop growing? No, we keep growing. There's more. There is untapped power at our disposal if we want it. Power to resist temptation, power to defeat the enemy, power to rise above sin, power to do damage to Satan's kingdom. Because of Jesus, we have the power to live, to make good choices, to be bold, to step out in faith, to share with a neighbor, to pray for someone who's sick. We have the power to live. Again, our verse, if anyone belongs to Christ, there is a new creation. The old things have gone. Everything is made new. If anyone belongs to Christ, and that requires an attitude of humility. And so the second part of that verse, there is a new creation, and it requires an attitude of thankfulness. When we celebrate the promises of belonging to Christ, you see, an attitude of thankfulness naturally must be involved, right? Think about your life before you were a new creation. Pastor Spence, I don't want to think or remember what my life was like before I met Jesus. But when you stop and think about your life before you were a new creation, who you were before Christ, what your life was all about, the decisions you made that were against God, and then you begin to think about where God has brought you from, you see, I think naturally an attitude of thankfulness automatically begins to bubble up to the surface in our life. If you belong to Jesus, you gave your life to him, then you have a testimony of how Jesus has rescued you. If you came to Christ as a young child, like I did at age 7, right? Think about all that Jesus has rescued you from or saved you from. You know, before, when I was 4, 5, 6, 7, you know, before I wasn't in a gang. I wasn't out robbing and stealing, but I needed a Savior, even at that age. Has my life been perfect from then till today? No. I still need Jesus, but he's kept me. He's kept me from things. You can look back over your life, however long that you've been a follower of Jesus, and you can recognize that God has made a lot of changes in you. Is there anybody that can relate to that? Two flies landed on a man's head. One said to the other, man, there's been some mighty big changes around here. Why, the last time we visited this place, there was just a footpath. Now, there's a huge landing strip. What a difference, God, you've made in my life. There's an old song, what a difference you've made in my life. How many are thankful for those changes? How many would say, man, that was difficult to go through, those changes, but I'm so glad he brought me through those changes. He remained with me. And how many can honestly say, I'm not who I want to be yet, But thank God I'm not who I used to be. I'm not who I want to be yet. I'm still striving. But thank God I'm not who I used to be. You are a new creation because God is doing an extreme makeover in your life. And you can honestly be thankful for that. You see, the people who knew you before your conversion to Christ, and they see you now, like the two flies, right? They see a lot of big change in your life. And you're so thankful that Jesus came into your life. He's the one that made all the difference. The Apostle Paul encourages in Colossians chapter 2, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow deep down into him, and let your lives be built on him." We've been talking about this extreme makeover, right? Being built on him. "Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with" what? "Thankfulness." Continue to follow Jesus. Let your roots keep growing into him. Build your life on him and his word. And as your faith grows stronger, you will overflow with thankfulness. You won't have to manufacture it. You won't have to pretend and be thankful. It'll come out of you because the time you're spending with Jesus, you're growing. Allow God to keep the extreme makeover in your life going. Rufus Henry McDaniel, he was an ordained minister. And after the tragic loss of his youngest son, Herschel, a year earlier, he penned this hymn, "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart." The first verse says this: "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart." Verse 2, "I have ceased from wandering and going astray since Jesus came into my heart, and my sins, which were many, are all washed away since Jesus came into my heart." And the chorus goes like this: "Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart." I remember singing that as a kid. You know, it takes on new meaning when you understand what you're singing. I was wandering, I was lost, but since Jesus came into my heart, it's different. An attitude of thankfulness comes to mind since Jesus came into your heart and your life. He's still changing you. Extreme makeovers. Extreme makeover. You may not realize it. You may not realize it, but we have walking around Peace Chapel people who are still under construction, extreme makeovers in the process, allowing God to shape their lives. You know what? You're sitting next to someone who hopefully God is doing an extreme makeover in their life. And they're marked by humility. Their lives are marked by thankfulness. And they realize that God isn't done with them yet. Remember that old bumper sticker? "Please be patient with me. God's not finished with me yet." That doesn't mean you can just not change. It means you keep working on things and allow God to help you and to reveal things in our life to change. He helps us, gives us the power to do that. God's not done with us. Sometimes we can't always see the changes that God is making in our lives, but he is. Other times we can see God pruning us, cutting away those things that don't belong. He's making us into the image of his son, Jesus. God's promises are for me. Do we believe that? You see, that's the beauty of having God's word, his promises at our fingertips. His promises are for me. We can celebrate that because we belong to Christ. It's been said, you can't break God's promises by leaning on them. You can't. So lean on them. Pray them. Believe them. Stand on them. They're not going to break. God will follow through. In His time, His way, I don't know. Mark Batterson, pastor, author, says this, God's promises don't have an expiration date. Someone needs to hear that today. Hold on. Remain. Abide. Stay the course. Keep believing His promises for you. After we set up our swimming pool, and we got really excited about jumping into some cool water on a hot day, but the pump was broken. I called the company, and they sent out a new pump. Why? Well, because they backed their product with a written guarantee. They kept their word. They delivered on a promise. They kept their side of the bargain. They were true to their word. And you'll be happy, and you'll be relieved to know that the very disappointed Duncan family soon had a swimming pool to cool off in. It's one of the reasons I'm here today. Can I challenge those who follow Jesus this morning? It's a good thing to take spiritual inventory of our lives periodically. Asking ourselves some questions. You know, what's God teaching me? It's a great question to ask your friends. Hey, what's God teaching you lately? Yikes, right? What is He teaching me lately? Have I grown this past year? And if so, in what way? Because I belong to Christ, do I have an attitude of humility? Since I'm a new creation in Jesus, and I believe in Him, is there an attitude of thankfulness in my life? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it's not on the screen, it says this, to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus, to grow in grace. Am I growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus? Am I allowing God to work on my life? Am I listening and obeying? See, is this new creation and thankfulness affecting, is it affecting my marriage, my kids, my family, my job, my retirement? My finances. It's not just a Sunday morning thing and we walk out and we forget everything. It's how am I thankful in my marriage? How am I thankful with the finances that I have? How am I we're growing. We're constantly evaluating. Are we growing? And can I ask all of us a question this morning? You see, following God is a personal decision, but it's lived out with others here at Peace Chapel alongside others. Together, life on life, I've said this before, loving, caring, and praying for one another as we encourage each other to follow Jesus. Come on, you can do this. I'm praying for you. You can do this. I'm standing with you. What do you need? Right? That's the attitude of belonging. The world can't find that in a bar. The world can't find that what they're looking for in the world. It's here, the body of Christ, loving and caring for one another. As a church, What would our marriages look like if as a new creation we were more thankful for each other, and it showed up in this room here. As a church, what would our families look like if we lived out this thankfulness, our friendships, our jobs, our impact and influence to those who don't know Jesus? My encouragement to you this morning is, we're going to go maybe have some fellowship and have some spaghetti and enjoy a time and support our youth as they go to camp. Camp is phenomenal. It's amazing. You send your kids to camp. It's the greatest week of their life. But it's going home, interacting with their families, getting up tomorrow and going to work and being a light. God promises are for me. Let's have an attitude of thankfulness. Let's pray.